Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Friday. This is Seattle Now. This week, we were battered with another round of fake spring. A nationwide formula shortage is stressing out parents and caregivers, and Sound Transit's downtown transit tunnel escalators won't be fixed until 2031. What? I'll talk about all that with battle tactics for your sexist workplaces, Eula Scott Vino, and the Needling's Lex Vaughn. But first, let's get you caught up. Homeowners, prepare yourselves. The King County Assessor says property values are up, way up. Seattle Times reports that in the Rainier Beach neighborhood, property values are up 19%. In Magnolia, it's 20%. The city of Sammamish is seeing the biggest increases at 52% over the last year. Taxes are determined on the previous year's value, so homeowners won't see a big jump until next year. Notices, though, will be mailed out this week. Seahawks fans won't have to wait long to let Russell Wilson know in person how they feel about his move to Denver. Week one is a matchup against their former star quarterback. The Seahawks will host Wilson and the Broncos at Lumen Field for a Monday night game, September 12th. And Sound Transit is making the switch to a new Orca system. The old card readers are being replaced this weekend. Starting Monday, you can use a new mobile app. In the meantime, you can ride for free over the weekend until the work is done. One heads up, if you have an automatic transfer on your account, Sound Transit says you may need to set that up again. It's Friday again, and not a minute too soon. I don't know about you, but I could definitely use a break, a little quiet time. And I hope if you need that, you get that as well this weekend. Lex Vaughn is here. She's the founder and editor of The Needling. And Eula Scott Bino is here, too. She's the co-host of the podcast Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace. Hey, you two.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, nice to have you here. Hey, you know what? It is Friday the 13th. Are either of you superstitious?
I mean, I'm super superstitious.
I try to not challenge anyone on Friday the 13th.
Not in a Mercury retrograde. Mm-mm, we're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. I know. Seriously, I do. I embrace every irrational superstition on the planet because I'm a Murphy, and we just start out that way with the deck stacked against us. So I don't mess around. I never tempt fate, especially on Friday the 13th. So I'm glad we're all in agreement on that. I hope you're all modifying your behaviors today. Maybe we shouldn't even be taping. I don't know. Maybe this show shouldn't run.
No, I wouldn't go that far. I would say that, you know, the blessing is that we're all in our homes. Mm-hmm. And maybe we shouldn't leave the house.
Yeah, we're all good at quarantining. Just do it for one day and we'll make it, you know?
Yeah. Well, we got more sun than the weather service told us we would get this week. And you definitely needed those balmy days because it stayed pretty chilly throughout the whole week. And in fact, the National Weather Service says the average temperature for the first part of May was just under 50 degrees, which is 12 degrees colder than in 2016. And as of this week, the mean temperature, which is different, for the month is about 5.5 degrees below normal. Cold and rainy. The rainfall is quadruple the normal.
I have to say, I haven't noticed. I haven't felt it at all because I don't know. First of all, I think maybe because like there have been so many days where the weather report said it was going to be rainy and then it was actually beautiful. And I was like, I feel like that's happened so many times this spring that I actually, you know, have felt like it's been more beautiful. I don't know why. It's probably just, yeah, that conflict in like weather reporting every now and then.
Right.
No,
right.
I totally agree. It's like, if it's a Jedi mind trick, do it on me.
Yeah. I think I got mind tricked into thinking it's actually really nice.
No, but it is actually really, it actually has been really nice. Like, you're right. It's been, as much as we've been getting rain, we've been getting really true sun breaks. Mm-hmm. And we've been seeing some pretty clouds and some pretty sunsets. And, you know, it's given us opportunities to get out when we and to be surprised by the weather, you know. All this predictability of the world is not good.
Yeah. I'm not really, I usually regret looking at weather reports because I get mad when it's wrong. Like Mother's Day, I swear, like, I think the forecast was supposed to be rainy.
It was
gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. That's collective prayer in action. Yeah.
Maybe that really is the gift of surprise that's just working for us. It is really just a beautiful time of year in the city, though, because the trees are just about to really pop their leaves. So they have that like hazy atmosphere around them that I really, really love about this time of year. It's more of like a specter than an actual leaf, which I just love. Love. Anyway, the rain's here, moving in, and it's allegedly going to stay that way for the weekend, and I guess we will find out. But again, now that it's here, I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You told me this was coming. Here it is.
Yeah. I love the rain, and as long as it doesn't stay too long and we get some breaks, I'm good.
and it serves a purpose. You know, it totally serves a purpose. I remember really complaining about the rain, you know, in my early 20s, maybe my late teens at a job, and a guy was like, you know, the thing about the rain, though, is it settles all the dander, so it helps your allergies. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
I know
that for me. Do that for me. And then now, you know, it's funny when you say you walk around, Trish, looking at, you know, the leaves and how they're about to pop. I look at, like, you know, the fruit, because I know which trees bear fruit in the neighborhood kind of thing. So I look at those and I see, like, what's, like, little things are going to be big things in just a matter of months. And so, so my point is all of those things need water, you know.
Yeah. And man, I hear you, Lex, about the allergies. Oh,
yeah.
I'm taking once, like 5 COVID tests this week.
Whenever it gets too dry and the grass starts really growing, that's when it's over for me. So I enjoy this part of spring a lot.
Yeah. Seattle being hit hard by the baby formula shortage. Moms are definitely mobilizing around this problem. And of course, we're at this point because of a constellation of things. There was a supply chain problem, a recall by Abbott Nutrition, by the manufacturer, and they had to close a plant, which really threw things for a loop. And I guess that plant is back open and things are going to get better, but it's going to be a while before we have a solid supply of formula. And I can only imagine how incredibly stressful this is for new moms, because new moms, you know, you've got so much stuff going on, man. You're sleep deprived. You're worried about your baby. You don't know if you're a first time mom. You're like, I just can't imagine. Yula, you're a doula. I want to hear from you about this.
Oh, it's really frustrating to think about, you know, I mean, in a million different ways, just how, you know, one, the supply chain and how we've set up a society to have expectations of someone afar doing all the hard work for our gain. You know, if we unionize the whole world, we'd be better off. From the idea of being a mother, it just sounds beyond stressful. So when I had my son, the only thing I prayed for was the ability for him to latch and for me to lactate. I didn't have any fears actually around the birth itself. Having been to labors, I was like, labors are successful. People have to be present and, you know, breathe. That's really all you can do in bringing someone earthside or whatever. But as far as, you know, feeding them once they get here, oh, I did not see success over and over with my clients. And so I knew that that was what you really had to focus on. And so, you know, it makes me think, I wish and I pray that this will create some kind of a more conversation and care in the very first few days of birth for mothers and babies to bond and to really understand what the hurdle is and how extreme it is in the beginning. On the other hand, it frustrates the life out of me to think that there are people who are always going to have a hard time, you know, just period, and don't have access right now. And the hard starts for babies right now. You know, this pandemic. I heard a woman one time say that she wasn't able to see her baby for several days because she had a indecisive test for COVID when she was in labor. So my point is that, and then, you know, that trickles into not being able to nurse, right? And then that trickles into now she can't even take care of her child with the means that were demanded of her. I'm done maybe, but I have a lot more to say.
Yeah. Well, I'm not even a mom and I could say so much. I'm just, you know, mad that, like, when you just zoom out the whole situation, you know, women are being, you know, having a lot of their rights taken away when it comes to their health, their decisions in life right now. And, you know, all these people say, well, we care so much about babies, got to bring them into the world. And then meanwhile, this is happening. We don't even have a steady supply of formula. It doesn't make any sense. This country makes no sense.
Right. What are adoptive parents going to do? Right. You know, this is if the planets have more adopted babies, these adopted babies will need formula too.
Yeah. Seattle Times reports that a retail software company determined that more than 40% of formula products were off the shelves, out of stock in Washington state. And here in the Seattle area, it's even higher. The one of the things that really got me thinking here is, you know, the response. The Northwest Milk Bank is trying to help. And now the Mom Network has kicked in, right? There's a Facebook page, Find My Formula Facebook group. And if there's one thing I know, and I think, Eula, you might agree with me about this, is that if moms get together to do something, that shit gets done.
Get done.
People, they will be taken care of in these networks. People, I can see it all day long. I have formula. I need this formula. Let me help you. I have five. You know, Kent is stocked up right now. Here's a photo of the store. Moms know how to freaking mobilize, man.
And then also you wonder if people will share their milk.
Yes.
You know, because that's a possibility too for people just to offer that way too if they don't have any other means. So my point is there's a way. If there's a bunch of ways, there's a way, you know. And hopefully going forward, we just get more care around this kind of stuff and this and a greater understanding of how this chain can be so easily broken in a way that, you know, really dismantles, like, you know, the care of babies. This is crazy.
Maybe we need to get the moms to help Sound Transit figure out its escalator problem.
Seriously, just anyone help.
When we're done with the formula sitch, we can address the escalator situation. You may have missed this, but if you ride Link Light Rail, steel yourself for some more broken escalators. No surprise there, really. This has been a persistent problem in the light rail stations. The UW station, oh my gosh, since we started building them, you know. But this week, Sound Transit says its timeline for fixing the beleaguered motorized stairs is 2031. 2031. That's like a decade.
Yeah. Livy will be in middle school.
Lex, you know, to be fair, I had a loose stair in my house for 10 years, and I still have not fixed that. So
you're not an engineer, though. You're not a transit engineer. We, you know, it's like, it's just amazing that it's like, you know, I've traveled around the world, you know, some big cities here in this country. And it's like, I swear, like every other city in the world can figure out escalators except for Seattle. And it's really hard to wrap my head around. I mean, I know that escalators break down from time to time, but it really seems like, you know, there's some stations here where the escalator is just almost always broken down. And you know, I think, you know, I've read that, you know, there's proposals for other kinds of stations that have even more giant like escalators. I, you know, I can't remember it off the top of my head here in Seattle.
Oh,
and I'm like, DC, you cannot do that here. DC has that covered. I lived in DC for a little bit. DC is the capital of escalators. I mean,
that's what I was thinking.
They have a very strong escalator culture there too. It's like, you got to get off to the, what is it like? If you're going to be slow, you get off to the right and like people pass on the left. Mm-hmm. It's like a very strict escalator culture.
Yes.
But they have some giant ones there, right? And they work.
Yes. Because, you know, one, they were built by somebody who really truly cared about the job. And, you know, you want to, I don't know, I go into these conspiracy theories of like, man, if I was the guy who got called every time, I'd be rich because not only did I put it in, I also have to fix it. But then also then my next conspiracy theory would be like, you know, the health conscious in Seattle probably love it and break it on purpose.
I mean,
make them walk.
I burn a few more calories, you know, because of it, fine. But I really worry about everyone who is disabled or, you know, a lot of times when I'm, you know, on an escalator at a transit station, I'm going to the airport with a giant, you know, suitcase. And it really, you know, that's very hard to do. You don't have that.
Those stairs are no joke, though, for real. Those stairs are no joke.
It's like, I figure it out, but it's like, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people are at risk for A, maybe not being able to do that, and B, you know, getting injured, you know, carrying a giant suitcase up and down stairs. It's very just impractical.
I mean, I do think the elevators always work because, you know, with me, and I'm totally with you. I've traveled with a toddler and my bags on the train, and I don't even think about the escalator. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even, it's not even an option. It's already, the elevator is the only option I have, you know?
There was one time when I went, I think, to the Husky station where the elevator and the escalator was down. And I had a giant, heavy suitcase. And I was like, wow, I'm really going to do this down all the stairs. Fine.
Yeah. Seattle Times, Mike Lindblom says that 11 Sound Transit escalators weren't functioning earlier this week. Sound Transit told Capitol Hill Seattle blog in March that its vertical conveyance systems were performing at acceptable levels and that escalators are functioning at 95% overall all the time. So, I mean, I guess across the system, right, if you consider how many escalators are in operation, but the one that matters is the one that doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
So.
And as we reported on the Needling this week, those escalators aren't really broken. They're just on a healing journey.
As we all
that never ends.
As we all are. Speaking of healing, Lake Washington's going to be closed to cars again this summer. Maybe we can all heal out on our bicycles. Starting May 20th, it'll cover a 3-mile stretch of the boulevard from Mount Baker Beach to Seward Park. They're calling it, get this, Bicycle Weekend.
Yeah. I love it.
I do too.
Yeah.
I love
I'm
it.
Always, I get caught and I always forget when they're doing it. Always. Like I religiously go down there and go, God damn, I have to come back out.
I love it.
I love any route where you can really, you know, bike and walk and not have to worry, you know, really get to enjoy yourself. Because I mean, as much as this city wants to have a reputation for being bike friendly and green, I think for the most part, it really isn't. It's like, I feel safe riding my bike on Burke Gilman Trail. And that's about it. Personally. So
I just think about how, like, sometimes you do have to go out of your way to find the track, but you're right, you know, to go to think you're going to bike from here all the way from here to all the way to there. But remember that one mayor we had that was like his goal to get us bike lanes everywhere?
McGinn. That was Mayor McGinn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He didn't get it done, but you know, he started something.
He's still talking about it though. He is still talking about it. All right. We are leaving it there. Thanks to our guest, Eula Scott Bino, co-host of the podcast Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace, and Lex Vaughn, founder and editor of The Needling. Great to talk to you two.
Same here.
Bye, Trish.
Have a great weekend. Appreciate you listening. Caroline Chamberlain Gomez produced today's show. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. And this week, we're saying goodbye to our intrepid senior producer, Jason Pagano. He doesn't like sappy stuff, but just so you know, everything you've loved on this show, Jason has had a hand in it. From our late night headlines to our hard to get interviews, his creativity, calm, skepticism, and wit have made this show what it was since the beginning of the pandemic. He's off for a new adventure, and it's pretty cool. We are going to miss you, Pagano. You're a comet, man.